This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, for another year, we're live on Federal Street, getting you ready for First Pitch. The Pirates and Yankees, our opening day broadcast on The Fan, is brought to you by Saloni's, the official burger and hot dog bun of the Pirates, and Mike's Beer Bar right across the street from us. Meet your friends before and after the game over at Mike's. Malzy to my left, no joke, he is battling explosive diarrhea. So
thank
give
you.
Him credit for battling. And Donnie, who is
I'm glad everybody here on Federal Street knows that now. I appreciate
Are these yours in, Donnie?
Yeah, you want one?
I'd love one, yes. These are the threes, so I can do a three. It's the six that gets me in trouble, Chris. Thank you.
I think you should do like triple the usual amount
I bring them out for special occasions.
We got a loaded show because we got to fit a lot into an hour. Robbie and Smakowski is wearing a throwback Steve Blass shirt. He's going to join us in a few minutes to tell some stories from working the Pirates' sidelines during their glory days.
I want to hear Arizona pool party stories because he would go out.
He does have some.
He would go out to
the guy he's with. Is the
yeah I know Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan.
Yes, he would. They would get that pool every year. Paul Hogan's a firefighter who was hanging around with.
And we love firefighters.
One of my classmates at North Catholic, Jeff Tomer, who was another city cop, and they'd all go out there and they'd get that pool when the Pirates were in the salad days. And they would dominate the Arizona pool.
Clint Hurdle, 235. He's going to call in, and I can't wait for that,
He can't wait to talk to Malzy.
Malzy.
His favorite sports talk show host.
Malzy, Clint Hurdle.
Donnie's been let out of the cave for the first time on an opening day, which is pretty cool.
This had to be the highest profile day of your career, Donnie, as far as like you're out in a huge public setting like this.
Yeah, I can't really think of another
one. I thought
one.
This was
the casino for Steelers games. Where you get the guy in the Eric Bleedrum jersey.
It's a little
Sunday.
Different, though. We've got a big tent here.
Right, like in the casino. Like I mean, you guys are there all the time. You're like in that little cove kind of by yourself.
Am I supposed to spit this or just swallow it?
No, that's the beauty of it. You never really have to.
One observation from being down here since around noon. Usually on opening days, home openers, you see Pirates fans and there's a lot of jerseys from – guys of yesteryear, whether that's I guess McCutchen kind of is throwback and also recent player, but the jerseys you can tell are from like 10 years ago.
Sure.
Right, like they bought him in 13 or 14 or somewhere around
sure.
there. And a lot of the shirts and stuff are vintage, I would say. The thing I've noticed from being down here for as long as I have been today, the Skeens jerseys are out in full force. People
He's
have made Stargell jersey to our right, Clemente jerseys are all over the place. But people have made the conscious decision like, yeah, maybe he's only going to be here for 4 or 5 years, but this is going to be my guy,
which
is cool.
When you play, I had a couple kids come up to me, families just saying hello, very polite. And, kids 11 or 12 years old, I think it was Dylan was the kid. I said, who's your favorite player? Kind of a dumb question because the answer is so swiftly Paul Skeens every time you ask a
kid. You didn't get IKF.
No, yeah, you did not get.
What about Tommy Pham?
Yeah, you didn't get Tommy Pham. You didn't get IKF. You get let me have the guy that's the beast, that's the best pitcher in the sport.
Fred wearing a jersey, a starter brand jersey from the early 90s, I will say.
1890s?
Yeah, it looked like Honus Wagner wore that.
It looked like Honus stitched it himself down on Railroad Street.
Looks like Little Poison and Big Poison like that jersey.
The bat right that he made was just a piece of timber from a fallen tree, and he kind of put a handle on it and swung it. I mean, my God. But he did come bearing gifts.
Yeah, hot dogs here. Saloni's obviously a big sponsor today. Some chicken on a stick, which is also amazing.
I'm going to abscond with some of these Saloni's buns for home. See, that's the thing.
Well, yeah, you can't eat right now because you have explosive diarrhea.
Why do you keep saying it, though?
Because you do, and it's true. I'm not saying it now for effect.
I'm powering through, though. You're almost making people are going to look at me. Oh, there, look at him. There's the guy.
Fewer Yankee fans than I thought, too. Just from kind of making my way around here, I thought it would almost be 50-50 or a takeover.
Yeah.
It has not been. We'll see what it sounds like once we get into the stadium. Maybe they're a late arriving crowd.
Do you want to know one of the things that doesn't help Yankees fans when they're trying to take over? Think of the team colors there. You just got your white and navy pinstriping. It doesn't pop out of a crowd where everyone's wearing, like, very vivid black and gold. There's another Skeens jersey. It doesn't pop, and I've only seen like 5 Yankees fans down here. So
I thought Starkey. I was listening at 10 a.m. when I was getting Stella up and running this morning. I thought Starkey actually had a very good point about
first
about today. It is an armistice day, is how we put it. Like you leave your Pirates
your
complaints.
Grievances.
And grievances and bitches at the door.
Is that like on Christmas Day in World War I when they got out onto the fields and played soccer together for one day?
I mean, doesn't it feel like that to you? To some degree?
The Hope Springs Eternal bit is,
I don't know about Hope Springs Eternal, Chris. Like, I don't think it necessarily thinking the team's going to win 90 games.
There's a base level. You know what they're out here for, I think, to put a capper or to actually put my take or spin on what you're saying? People are
and terrible job by Jeff Hathorne, by the way. Just a hot dog with
ketchup only.
I know.
Oh
dude.
My God!
I knew they were going to come after you, Jeff. I knew it. The moment you did that,
it just disgusts me what he's doing right there.
Straight ketchup.
No,
look at that. It's about to drip on the laptop.
Yeah, nothing against the Heinz Corporation, who makes this wonderful yellow mustard that I'm about to utilize here.
Where's the French's mustard?
No, we're good with Heinz. Heinz is good. Pony, you know what today is? I think about though to put your point and Joe's point on it. It's really about these people come out, they love the Pirates, yes, they want the Pirates to succeed, but they love baseball. Home opener or opening day, if it happens to be at home, is always about, I love baseball. It's about the sport of baseball.
I actually think it goes beyond that. I think it's just a fun day as a Pittsburgh sports fan. And only 20 or 27 cities in America get to experience this, which is having that first baseball game, which gets people off from work. It gives people an excuse to go party and tailgate and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the, if we're making a pros and cons list of having the Pirates, that's one of the top ones in the plus category. That the thrill and excitement and fun of opening day, we get to experience that annually in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there's a little bit of buzzing anticipation.
You agree with that, Donnie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you put it that way, that there are 27 cities, because obviously a couple cities are
Chicago, LA, and New York have two.
By two. Yeah, I mean, Sacramento now gets added to that list. How nice for them. But when you put it in those terms, I do think it underscores it a little more nicely. It's, you could live in a lot of different places in the country that are big cities that don't actually have this. You could live in Kansas City, or no, I'm thinking Kansas City Royals. You could live in like Oklahoma City, which is pretty big, which has a basketball team, or you could live in Austin, Texas. You could live in San Antonio. You could live at all these places. You're not going to get to do this in a lot of those spots. Columbus, Ohio, another one.
And look, the Pirates have been around since 1887, and this has never happened before. They've never opened the season against the Yankees. And the Yankees have a connotation and have, everyone has an opinion on them, and they're a love or hate franchise, and it's an event whenever they're in town. I mean, if the Pirates were playing the Rockies today, it would be a big deal because it's opening day.
It wouldn't be the same, though.
But it's opening day on steroids because the Yankees are here.
They've got their big torpedo bats they're bringing in, you know, hauling in these special bats as if they need any help. Every time they play the Yankees, they're not the best team that the Pirates are going to play this year. That would be the Dodgers. They're not even the best team, I think, in the American League if I had to, like, score it myself here. I don't think they're going to win the AL. But you know what the Yankees represent that always, like, I always wanted to strike back against as a Pirates fan? how they usually win. The Bronx Bombers. They're hitting the ball over the fence. They're doing the stuff that costs a lot of money, either to bring in big, high-priced hitters. There's just it's a show of strength. It's a vulgar display of power when the Yankees are in town. And you always love short-circuiting that. It's different than if the Rays, for example, came in here projected to win 95 games with small ball and, like, small market perfection. It's a different – Donnie, do you agree? You know what I'm saying? It's a different vibe when the Yankees are here because of how they go about what
Well, because their players are celebrities. They're not just baseball players. Aaron Judge, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter. These are guys that cross the Rubicon in our household
names. They're mainstream.
Names.
Yeah, they're in mainstream magazines. They're on the cover of everything. Yeah.
And they have what? They have 22 homers this year. The Pirates have 4.
It's going to be, you know, it's funny
Aaron
though?
Judge has 5.
It's kind of funny, though, Donnie. It's going to be a little bit of irresistible force meets a movable object.
Because you've talked about the Pirates not giving up home runs this year.
Yes, thank you. 3. They've given up 3, I believe it is. That's it.
And the rotation, I don't think, besides 1. What, Harrington?
Harrington gave up 1. No other starting pitcher has given up a home run. Like, that does kind of underline in bold ink why it's disappointing that they're only 2-5. They have kept the ball in the yard.
So I was listening to Donnie while I was coming down here and fighting traffic with Amanda. I don't know if you were doing the same. Malzi, you might have had Yacht Rock on.
Christopher Cross hour.
I was listening to Toto's greatest hits.
But I co-signed what he said earlier. And this is unique for me, having grown up in New York, and many of my relatives, my stepbrother, my uncle, my aunts, my dad, are all Yankees fans. And I took the other fork in the road and adopted the Mets as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
But I just hate them with a passion of many burning suns. Like, I saw the Derek Jeter jersey while I was walking here, and I wanted to drop kick the guy who was in his 60s who was wearing it.
And you probably could.
Yeah, now that you're in great shape.
Right.
You probably could do it. I mean, he's lucky. You would have made like Bob Holly on that guy.
But I there's something still visceral for me.
I despise them. They're the easiest team to hate in professional sports, in my opinion. They're easier to hate than the Lakers. The Red Sox got very hateable for a while when they started
having
success.
Because their fans are so obnoxious.
But I mean,
sorry, Donnie.
The Yankees,
that was when I was a kid.
I think historically will always, they're easier to hate than the Patriots. When Brady was at his apex. Again, that was just Boston, you know, obnoxious Boston fan. Yankees fans are obnoxious too. And like, it did bother me as a kid. You'd see their fans get so mad when they would like make it to the division series but lose. Oh, fire everybody! You know, hang Cashman outside the city. What's he doing? I'm thinking like, my God, you won 93 games or whatever it was this year. I'd kill for that. That there is one thing I'll say about being a Yankees fan. It can't be that fun to never totally be happy because every year you expect to win it all. Same with the Dodgers.
They haven't
right
won
now.
It since 09, though, but I hear your point.
But, like, it's never really enough. If the Pirates won a World Series this year, went on an insane, unconscious tear, like, this series, the city would be delirious.
I think that, you know, I haven't really had this discussion with any of my family members or friends from back home who grew up Yankees fans, but they would probably mock the idea of the 2013 wild card being an apex moment for Pirates fans.
I know they would.
Like, you guys got...
You got into the playoffs.
You guys have orgasmic, erotic thoughts over a one-game playoff? What's wrong with you? But you give a homeless guy a hamburger and he acts like it's filet mignon is basically what it comes down to.
All this in service of the idea of, man, do I hate the Yankees. I just do. And I just... Even for today, I just want Keller to go in there and just silence the stupid torpedo bats, and I just want to see a win. I just want them to eat crap for one day.
Well, and that's the cool part of having the 60 World Series in your back pocket, right, I guess?
Man, they should have got Maz to throw out the first pitch.
I love that one.
That's a good call, actually.
They should have done that.
I love that that series apparently just like devastated Mickey Mantle for his entire
it
career.
Did. He talked about that more than he talked about the ones that he won.
Right. Like, I love that. You outscored the team that beat you by 30-odd runs. And it
impromptu name game. Can we name some guys who played for the Pirates and Yankees? Go, Donnie.
Right. Wait. Like, actually played for both
Wait,
teams.
Played for both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yvonne Nova.
Xavier Nady.
A.J. Burnett.
No, oh, man.
I'll do another one.
I'm way too on the spot
Luis
here.
Luis Soho.
Garrett Cole.
Hold on. I can think of.
Wait, I have one. Casey McGee.
That's a great one.
Jeez. I'm just absolutely disgusted by him saying Casey McGee.
Doc Ellis.
I don't know what his number was.
Charlie Hayes.
What a pull.
Enrique Wilson.
Oh, you dog.
Damaso Marte.
Oh. Wait a minute. Now I'm thinking about this one because I'm having second thoughts because you said more. Oh, Justin Wilson.
Did he?
Yeah, they traded him to the Yankees. Justin.
That's
Wilson.
A good call. Neil Walker.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen.
Bam.
Wow.
People, Donnie, to use our TikTok joke, people forget Andrew McCutchen was a menace with the Yankees.
Ben can make that video at some point.
Yeah, where's
you know
Tim
why I remembered McGee? Because I was, like, upset for him because the dude had, like, a great beard when he played for the Pirates, and the dude had to shred it.
Now they're allowed to have Yankees. Now they're allowed to have
tasteful beard.
Yeah, they can have, like, the UPS. I call it the UPS rule.
Did you guys at Amazon have a rule on facial hair, or you're allowed to
grow
that thing?
No, which was good.
Man, I'm glad I didn't.
Were you also peeing in bottles and stuff?
No, that was
I never did, but I believe people did.
I thought Burnitz did, but he was a Met.
Willie Randolph.
Trying to think of more bullpen. Like, Solomon Torres never played for the Yankees, did he?
How about Ike Davis?
I like Ike.
Travis Ishikawa.
Hold on.
Some of those I do not even remember that they played there.
I can definitely grab, like, one or two more. Wait a minute.
Well, think about it during the break. We'll come back. We got Robbie Inchmakowski here. We're live on Federal Street. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nelly has a headline, and we're back with more. Clint Hurdle in 20 minutes is the PM.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam team. 219, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. We're live on Federal Street. Sea of Humanity here. People already filing into PNC Park for the Pirates and Yankees, the first time they've ever played on opening day. To my right is honestly one of my favorite human beings, and I don't say that hyperbolically.
How is that? What makes you say that?
You know why?
And I appreciate
that's
that.
That's Robbie Inchmakowski, you remember from all his days as a sideline reporter for the Pirates.
Do you call it sideline reporter?
Like I prefer field reporter because there are no sidelines in baseball.
True.
I always thought it sounded better when you said field reporter as opposed to sideline reporter.
Because you could be anywhere.
But, Chris, I mean this about Robbie. You are honestly one of the most considerate people I've ever met.
Well, I think you're a jerk. No. I appreciate
he's never said that. He's never said that about me, Robbie, so that's high praise. He usually just looks like it's a chore.
You're always good about reaching out, asking how the family is doing, and that's always meant a lot to me. So.
You know what, man? I'll say one thing. It's really cool, man. I know what you and your wife Amanda experience in your lives again.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Stella being in your lives
now.
But it takes a lot of courage to do what you've done and everything you've been through in your life. And to share that takes a lot of courage, and I have a lot of respect for that. So, anyways, we're here to talk some baseball. What do you got?
So you started in 2013.
I did. Yeah.
What timing?
You know, I did.
Did you feel like you were, when you walked in here, like, hey, this team's actually going to be special?
Well, if you want the truth, I was working with the Minnesota Twins as a reporter and a host for the 4 years before that. And the Twins had really good years in 2009, 2010. They had a hard time in 11 and 12. And then a job opened up because I'm from Philadelphia, born and raised. I wanted to be closer to my family. And I saw that a job opened up. I had a decent relationship with Dan Potash, who's one of the greatest human beings to ever exist.
Also in the Hall of Fame wall of, like, considerate, kind human beings. If we say the name San Diego Chargers on the air, I get an immediate text from Potash.
Let me tell you something. Dan Potash might be the most talented guy. Him and Rob King are the two most talented guys I've ever worked with in my entire life. And they're fantastic on the air, and obviously the saying goes on how great human beings they are. But they're elite human beings and elite teammates and elite
King
guys.
Is an absolute menace, I've heard, when it comes to pickup sports, though. I've heard you get in King's
crazy.
Way on the basketball court. Forget about it.
Kinger would walk into the office on days that he was hosting and bring, like, carrots and lettuce in a plastic bag. And that's what he would eat before game time.
All right, so back
anyways,
to 13.
All right, so anyways, yeah. 2013 I get here. Sorry, we got off track. But 2013 we come here, and you kind of felt the frustration a little bit that the fan base had been dealing with. 2011 was a struggle. 2012, obviously, they had a quote-unquote collapse. But they were kind of building towards something. And it was cool to watch Kutch have an MVP season, you know. And it was interesting to see a guy, having seen it with Joe Mauer in 2009 in Minnesota when he won an MVP, you see Kutch, everybody wants a piece of him. And you see him single-handedly carrying a team to a wild card berth, which is one of the greatest baseball games I've ever
been. Where were you for that?
I was there as a fan. because we weren't televising. Yep. So I just bought tickets and went as a fan with a bunch of friends. And it was unbelievable. And I was okay.
Is that the best atmosphere you've ever been in as a fan?
The 2008 World Series when the Phillies won it all was number one. That was the second. That was the number two. When Brad Lidge struck out Eric Hinsky in 2008, that was my number one.
Former
baseball.
Pirate Eric
Hinsky. Another yep. Yankee Pirate Yankee crossover. Pirate
I heard
crossover.
That last night. Jameson Taillon, they missed too.
We didn't even say their... IKF.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, there's Jeff Karstens, another one. Who I don't know if they
know. Yeah. We could really go.
Yeah, there's a really lot we can do.
Wait, did Kevin Correa ever play for the Yankees?
No,
I don't think
not.
Correa did, no. But anyways, it was just a cool experience, man. I got to see what baseball was like in Pittsburgh, and I loved it ever since.
And you stayed.
I don't want to leave the city. I worked with Texas Rangers last year. I didn't even apply for the full-time job because I wanted to stay in Pittsburgh. Family consideration is certainly a part of it, but I didn't want to move from Western Pennsylvania.
I'm wondering what it was like, the 2012 team, to go back to that. So 2012 Pirates.
Well, I wasn't there.
I'm thinking about the McCutchen year, yeah.
13 was my first. I was at the Twins in 2012.
When you're saying McCutchen winning the MVP, my first thought was you weren't here to see all the disappointment. You did come in at like such an odd time because that previous year felt like that was going to be the year. Like they were, Pony, what was it, about 18 games over 500 at one point? They looked dominant for long stretches of that 2012 season. So, and I don't know if you recall the very now famous, at the time infamous, Clint Hurdle quote before the season. He said, I think we can win 95 games with this group.
And we fell out of our chairs.
And the scoffing that went on.
This was in 2012.
2013.
Oh, after 12 had happened, we had watched
them do like a collapse just for 500.
Yeah.
He goes, I think this team can win 95 games. And we all fell out of our chairs. Then to see that and for that to be your first expose to this was
and that was my
wild.
First. That was my first year of really seeing what baseball meant to a city. You know, like I'll tell you a quick story. So we were in Cincinnati, Ohio to end the 2013 regular season.
I remember that.
And Michael McHenry, who now does TV, became my coworker. He said, hey, could you send out a tweet asking people to wear black? He's like, Kutch and I were talking about, seeing if fans could wear black for
the blackout.
For the blackout game. I'm like, why don't you have Kutch do it? He's going to get a way bigger response than the Root Sports Twitter account's going to get. And next thing you know, you saw the sea of black. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is what baseball is in Pittsburgh? Like, are you kidding me? And I'll never miss an opening day. I bought tickets. I'm going as a fan today, hanging out with a bunch of buddies.
A.J. Burnett's fingerprints on those teams. Give me a thought on that.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I wish A.J. Burnett was on this team right now because I wish he would walk in that clubhouse and go, this is how we do things. This is what's accepted, and this is what's not accepted.
You saw that firsthand.
Yes. Yes.
It was a.
It's
a guy who needed the city, and the city needed him.
This is how we operate. This is how we do things. And I don't know Paul Skeens, so I'm not going to speak out of turn. But I hope at some point in time this season, knowing he's a generational arm and a generational talent, that he steps in and says, hey, this is how we're functioning. This is what's acceptable, and this is what's not acceptable. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, get out. Because that's what AJ did.
How much was it him policing the clubhouse versus then you have like a different vibe from the manager too, which was generally good cop, but like
he's joining us in 5 minutes.
He's joining us in 5 minutes.
He's unbelievable.
I always thought his best ability really it's hokey a little bit to talk about it in these terms, but I really did think he managed if that team in 13 went through little swoons. I did think he managed to keep them on message better than most.
I don't think there was a better guy for that job at that time than Clint Hurdle was.
How'd you get along with him?
He was great. I was just at his charity event for Prader-Willi Syndrome Association a couple weeks ago in Bradenton, Florida, and he raised a ton of money. He was fantastic for where that team was. He was unbelievable, you know. And he was. I thought he was fantastic. He did a great job. I love him. I love his family, his wife, everybody, and I think. It was great, and I know what an impact it left on him to make this impact on baseball in the city of Pittsburgh.
Robbie and Smikowski with us. So now you've dabbled in writing. You've written a book about baseball.
I did. Essentially, I'm going to try to do this as quick as I can, but I tried to take a lot of the human interest stories that I tried to tell on TV for 11 seasons in Pittsburgh and 16 overall throughout baseball, my time as a reporter and host in Major League Baseball, and turned it into book form. So I've been traveling with a camera, this little tiny digital camera that I hope to take pictures of during the anthem today. I traveled with this for 7 years and took pictures of all 30 ballparks and decided.
Not on your phone. You went with the old school camera.
No, I did old school digital camera. And it takes great pictures. And I turned it into a book. I just took a bunch of pictures, behind-the-scenes stuff, called a bunch of people associated with each ballpark and tried to get a story. Just a neat story behind the story. We interviewed the pitcher that gave up Barry Bonds' 756th homer.
Mike Bassick.
I'm going to interview the guy that started third base next to Cal Ripken the night he broke the streak, Jeff Houston.
Ooh.
So a lot of stuff like that.
I knew
that.
Mike Bassick. I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Yep, I interviewed Boyd Robertson, who was Vin Scully's right-hand man for 28 years. What was it like standing a foot away from Vin Scully?
That's pretty badass.
For 28 years in the broadcast booth. So a lot of first-hand stories with my relationships. We talked to fans. I'm chasing down a lemonade vendor in Arizona. Players, broadcasters.
Well, the guy behind
everybody.
You is who I so associate Paul Hogan, with Arizona because he used to get the pool out there.
So Paul Hogan is a guy that is funny. He's a retired firefighter. He's got two beautiful daughters in college right now, and he's an all-world funny human being. But he's the guy that named my book. It's called Sacred Grounds, my book. And I brought him here to have him tell the story of how my book got named. So, Paul, please, will you tell the story of how my book got named?
Paul, were you sober when you named the book?
No.
Kind of.
Absolutely not. I was not. I'll make a long story short. We were down in Mario's on Southside.
Move that closer to your mouth, Paul, if you don't mind.
There we go.
How about now?
Oh, good. Much better.
Okay. And we were at Mario's on the south side. I called Robbie to come meet me to watch Skeens pitch. Now, I normally try not to drink on days that don't end in a Y. Luckily for Robbie, this was a Tuesday. So we were good. So Robbie comes in, and I'm already about six Tito's Red Bulls in. I got all eight sails are up in majestic form right now. So he starts boring everyone to sleep with one of his long drawn out stories, and
I can see
he's telling me all these stories. And for what it's worth, on Robbie's book, it's really going to be an amazing book. But he couldn't name it, so I grab a beverage napkin, and I just write "Sacred Grounds" by Paul Hogan featuring Robbie and Fikowski. This is how we're going to do this right now. I handed it to him, then we just watched the game, and then the next day he said, "I ran this by my." My editor, and we're going to use this book.
So you get royalties then, I'm guessing.
No, I'll get nothing from this. Absolutely.
Just
nothing.
Robbie's friendship and appreciation.
Well, I put him on the map, so it's going to he
fair.
Gets mine.
Fair. You guys were the stars of the show in the pool. He was just the vessel.
Yeah, that was the Arizona pool. How about that? That was amazing. They banned
Shout
us.
Out to Jeff Tomer.
They banned you, as you're about to say?
They banned us for life. Yeah. They banned us for life. However, the guy that banned us for life, they called me last year. They said, yeah, we just fired him. We would like you guys to all come back.
Wow.
So we're going to do that. We're going to go back down.
That's awesome. Paul, just give it to Robbie for a second.
Yes.
I want to.
And gentlemen, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks,
Paul. Well, when's the book come
all
out,
that
Robbie?
Is true. It's out for pre-sale right now. Robbie Ince, R-O-B-B-Y-I-N-C. Couldn't go the commercial route with selling it because I would go broke, and I don't want to do that right now. So Robbie Ince, R-O-B-B-Y-I-N-C.com. Click on book. And you'll be able to read it. We have three sample chapters out there, Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, and, of course, PNC Park.
Robbie, you're the salt of the earth guy, man. Thank you so
Tony
much.
Tony Mueller, thank you guys very much.
Robbie, awesome. Can't wait.
Clint Hurdle joins us in just a few minutes. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, southhillskia.net. Quick timeout. We're right back. Here's the Nelly headline. All right, we are live on Federal Street getting you set for another Pirates home opener. It's the first ever against the Yankees. Fan Hotline is presented by our friends here. I don't have the hotline read. That's okay. We'll keep it moving here. We're live on Federal Street, brought to you by Saloni's, the official burger and hot dog bun
Pony,
of the Pirates, and Mike's Beer Bar. Meet your friends before and after every game. Yes,
I can
Pony?
Help you with the hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service.
Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
It.
Thank you, Mulsey.
Served it up for you.
Donnie also here and on the hotline right now. He is a legend. He was the 2013 NL Manager of the Year. He led the Pirates to the playoffs in 13, 14, and 15, and he's back here on the Pittsburgh airwaves. I'm talking about none other than Mr. Clint Hurdle. Clint, Andrew Filippone, Chris Mueller, and Donnie Football, how are you today?
Well, Flip, I am good, buddy. How's everybody there?
It's electric down here. People are psyched to watch some baseball. My first question to you, Clint, is when you think back on your days in Pittsburgh, what's your favorite home opener memory?
The home opener memory, probably the home opener. I think, didn't Neil Walker hit a walk-off?
Yes.
Yep.
1-0 against the Cubs.
That was probably as exciting a home opener as you could have. You have all the expectation, all the hype, and you have no runs for the entire day until the Pittsburgh kid runs one out of the ballpark. Ballpark was packed, was jacked, and the place erupted. So that would be my favorite opening day memory.
Clint, what was it like being at the helm in 13, in 14, in 15, when, as a guy who's just turned 40, I can say this town came alive for baseball like it hadn't done in about 25 years almost at that point? Just, can you describe what it was like being almost at the eye of that hurricane of positivity and good vibes that surrounded this franchise for those 3 years especially?
Well, there's many fingerprints on success. And, you know, from top to bottom, from working with Frank and Neil doing their thing, Neil and I doing our thing, the coaching staff, our player development system, you know, Neil Huntington and Kyle Stark, everybody was inclusive, everybody was positive and wanted to show up and reverse the trend we had been in. So once we were able to flip the script in 2013, some momentum got on our side, some traction got on our side, but the fan base has no idea how helpful they were to it all. That park, PNC Park, the North Shore, it became a hostile playing environment for opposing teams. I think one of the years we ran off 51 home victories.
Yep.
It was kind of like watching your kids play in the backyard. The parent just stays out of the way. You watch your kids go play. You tell them how proud you are of them. Every once in a while, you pull one aside. And you might have to grab them around the neck or pat them on the back sometimes. But it was an absolute joy to be the manager of the Pirates for the 9 years I was there. And I can tell you, for 3 years, that place was electric, and it's as good a vibe as I've ever had in any job that I've ever been a part of.
Clint, I got to ask about the 2013 wild card game, you leading the team back to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. Have you had in your entire career an atmosphere that really matched? I mean, maybe the World Series with the Rockies. How many atmospheres matched what you were able to feel in the stadium that night when the Pirates played the Reds?
I think what you feel is that there's a recency bias to it. At the time of game 163 in Colorado, when Matt Holliday slide, once we hadn't won anything in a long time,
And
that slide in a playing game of 163, knew we were going to the playoffs with 48,000 people in that ballpark, it's pretty electric. The vibe in Pittsburgh was just different. It was a hungry city. It was a hungry fan base. It was players that had put a foot down and said, we're going to reverse this trend. And I can remember getting to the park about 11 o'clock that day and then walking outside early just for some quiet time and starting to hear people come across the Three Sisters Bridge. And the vibe, the music, the noise, and then it just kept building as the day went on and then erupted when we took the field. And, of course, one of the biggest eruptions I've ever been a part of was when the fans, you know, it was like running the goalie out of the net. They quaid-o'd Cueto. He drops the ball. The next pitch, Martin hits it in the North Shore notch. And I've never been a part of anything, any eruption like that from a fan base ever before.
Clint Hurdle, our guest right now. He's got a book out, Hurdleisms, Wit and Wisdom from a Lifetime in Baseball. Clint, I don't know, did you write a chapter on torpedo bats? What do you make of torpedo bats in baseball in 2025? We got the Yankees today. They clobbered 9 homers with those things against the Brewers. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this. We keep searching for ways to find more offense. We keep searching for ways for different teams and organizations to have played within the rules and come up with different concepts. And when they're the first one to come up with it, nobody likes it. People have thrown their hands up in L.A. about what they've done with deferred payment, taxes, contracts. Now the Yankees were the first ones to kind of take this torpedo bat, put it in play. I think it's still a small sample size. I think there's something to be said for the guy swinging the bat, but I'd like to see how it plays out. It makes sense. It makes so much sense from a common sense standpoint, because the only thing we've really adjusted with the bat over the 150 years is the knob, right? They play with the knob. The barrels have all been similar. So now to put the density of wood where that particular player hits the bat most often, go figure. We'll see how it plays out. They didn't break any rules. I do think I was hoping somehow, some way, that schemes would match up this week.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of bat you go up against Pauly. I don't think the results are going to be favorable.
Clint, I can't help but want to look backwards one more time at that 2013 season, but it's against the backdrop of what happened in 2012. The wheels did come off a little down the stretch, and I'll never forget this because you definitely had the last laugh with one of the all-time great predictions. I remember vividly, I don't know if you remember this, you saying you felt like you had a 95-win team heading into 2013, and most of us fell out of our chairs when we heard the clip. We talked about it. We said, how can he think this? What did you know going in? What did you feel about that 2013 team that made you so confident to almost hit a prediction like that right on the money?
You know, sometimes you say things and then you kind of would wish the words when you could bring them back. When I said that, I meant it. And I didn't care what people thought about me. Matter of fact, most of the time I managed to go, I didn't really care what you thought about me. I needed to represent the club. I needed to get the men and the coaches to believe in themselves and each other. And hopefully the city would come along for the ride. I had seen so many positive traits being built up through 11 and 12. And yes, both years it finished poorly. You know, whether it's lack of depth, managerial decisions, you know, not lack of run support. We started off every year, the first 2 years, really, really well. But we weren't able to finish it off. And I think it got to the point where I saw a different look in the eyes of the guys coming off the field in 2012 at the end. They were just like, okay, it happened again. This will not happen a third year. And then to the credit of everybody upstairs, the players we brought in that winter were game changers for us. And they brought dynamics. A.J. Burnett brought a dynamic we didn't have.
Yep.
Russell Martin. But those two guys, they would bring knives to a fist fight. You know, they were not going to be overwhelmed really with anything because the players had played. But they were able to stuff a belief in that clubhouse and the other men that were in Pirate uniforms that they probably didn't have before. So I tip my hat to everybody involved. It was just nice to be along with the ride. But sometimes you got to be out front. You got to say things that are hard that maybe other people don't want to say or they're afraid they're going to get laughed at. But when you throw yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable like that, you're letting them know you believe in them. And I think it makes it easier for them to believe in one another.
Clint, I want to take my second crack here to just say thank you to you because I wasn't around yet in the early 90s. Until you came around and turned around this franchise, I never got to taste playoff baseball in Pittsburgh. So thank you from a whole generation of Pirate fans because you're remembered as a god around here, buddy. We got to get you back to throw out a first pitch.
Well, maybe somebody can throw it to me. I'll take one of those torpedo bats up there and see if I can whack it.
Clint, one of our favorite clips on the show is when we ordered a cameo, and you gave Mulsey, my co-host, a nice shout-out. Nelly, can you play that for Clint right now, please?
Mulsey, it's former Pirates manager Clint Hurdle. You were always my favorite talk show host when I was back in the Berg. Much better than Starkey.
That seemed genuine, Clint. It didn't feel scripted there. Thoughts?
Well, you know, it's amazing what a guy will do for a dollar.
Give us a quick thought on the book. We already had Robbie Smikowski on 5 minutes ago pitching his book, so we might as well give you the same platform. If we're going to give Robbie some time, we got to do the same thing for Clint.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Robbie's special to us. We just had our big hot soap fundraiser for my daughter a couple weeks ago down
here. He was telling us that, yeah.
You want to talk about love from a city. Larry Riker, Kevin Colbert, Joe Klimchek, Robbie Inkmakowski, Andrew McCutcheon showed up with his family to the event. It had such a Yinzer flair to it. It was overwhelming. Robbie had a way with Maddie that not many people had back in the day, so he's one of my favorites. The reason I wrote a book was I felt I was at a point in time in my life where I had things I could share that may be of value to other people in the positions in life they're in right now. There's a lot of failure in this book. There's a lot of vulnerability. There's a lot of lessons learned the hard way. There's some big successes. There's some big time laughs. But I thought it was just time for me to unpack some things that I've been carrying around for a while because they could be of value to somebody else on their journey.
Where can people get it, Clint?
In bookstores all around you. Amazon will get it to you in a couple days. I'm actually, you know, I'm going to be up in the Berg in the middle of May. I'm going to do some do some things up there. Hopefully I can get around and see some people as well. It's been a long time since I've been back for any period of time, but you ring up, you just pull up Amazon right now, you get the book to you in a couple days. I would heartily endorse that move.
Clint, our schedule will be open. If you're going to be up in May, we'd love to get you back in studio. How's that sound?
I will let you know, and we will do it. You stay connected to Jimmy T. I'll give him the dates. We'll work something out.
There you go. Clint Hurdle. Clint, enjoy the home opener from where you are. It's always a blast to have you back on the air. You are a godsend to Pittsburgh, and we appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Clint.
All right. Let's all raise it today after the game.
There you go. Clint Hurdle, everybody. Wow. What do you think, Don?
I mean, I had to thank the guy. I mean, I grew up
very
the first 18 years of my life, I didn't know what playoff baseball.
I mean, it
looked
is.
Like.
We kind of laugh. We always traffic in sometimes insincerity in this medium and busting each other's chops. But I mean, to how much baseball and sports matter to a kid? Like, what you said to him resonates, man. It does.
You think he's still chewing the gum?
Definitely, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
So you think he's on the couch watching games and he's still going through like
1,000%? He's
20 pieces of double bubble an hour.
I just think that once you've chewed gum that much as part of your daily routine, you don't just quit gum cold.
Bigger
turkey.
Gum chewer, Danny Smith or Clint Hurdle?
That's like, I mean, to me, that's, you know, that's Frazier Ali and
Clint in his prime. Clint in his prime.
That's
plus he had 162 games. Danny Smith only got 17 a year.
Danny. Yeah, I think it is Clint because he's got sprinter speed, but over the course of a marathon.
It's absolutely true that, like, and I said this the other day about, I forget who we were talking about, but when he was at the tail end of things, he was open for criticism and he deserved a lot of it.
Yes.
But now that years have gone on, you look at his entire body of work and how can you argue it? I mean, the guy was the steward for two franchises. The Rockies making the World Series and the Pirates ending 20 years of losing. And look at those franchises since he left. If you think about it.
He strikes me
as
a guy.
Those are two huge, like, points on a resume. He turned around the Rockies and he turned around the Bucks, Malzahn.
He strikes me as somebody that's very much built to be a manager, was always built to be a manager in markets of this size. I don't think Clint Hurdle and the way he did his thing would have worked as well in like, a New York or a Philly or a Boston.
Coming up next, we'll give some finishing touches on our home opener, thoughts on today's game. We'll put in some hypothetical bets on today's game and more, and then the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. But first, a quick timeout. We'll be right back on Federal Street. It's the PM team. Live on Federal Street, brought to you by my friends at Mike's Beer Bar. Fan beer of the month is Cindy's Hard Mountain Tea from Cinderlands Brewing, benefiting partners for quality. Right across the street from where we are as we're getting you set for first pitch, Dan Zangrilli standing by. I'll have more on Andrew McCutchen playing right field today as the Pirates navigate their way through this Brian Reynolds tricep injury. Only the 14th time McCutchen has played the field since he re-signed with the Pirates a couple of years ago. I was trying to think, what do you think is the Pirates' record in home openers since we started in 2010?
Ooh.
Well, I know Shelton is 1-4.
All right, so let's go back.
Then they pummel the Dodgers.
So they beat the Dodgers.
Opener.
Garrett Jones at 2 homers in 2010. That's 1-0. Hurdle lost his home opener to the Rockies in 2011. That's 1-1.
You can just do this yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to have the memory.
You remember all
15 they all won.
Roy Halladay shoved against the Pirates in 12 and beat them.
13,
Samardzija beat them.
Samardzija.
14, they won. Walker's walk-off.
So that's 2-3.
15, they won.
They beat the Tigers, who were 6-0. That's 3-3. And then 16, Liriano beat the Cardinals, I want to say, and pitched his ass off. So that would be
4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. And then 2017.
This is going to be all you here on the fly. Memory, man.
One of those games is against the Twins in, like, 5-degree weather. And then another one
like
is against the Braves.
I feel like they lost the one against the Twins. Just my memory is that they lost the Twins game.
They lost to the Orioles last year. Jared Jones pitched.
Well, yeah, I know that the Shelton ones are 1-4, so we can shoehorn those
but
in.
But do we count 2020 and 2021? Because those really weren't
games,
home openers.
They still gave away a World Series trophy, you know? That hunk of metal.
We counted it.
Yeah. And then they beat the White Sox 13-9 on the McCutchen
2 years ago
game.
In honor of West Virginia.
That was when Burnett threw the opening pitch to Russell Martin. That was pretty cool. Didn't sound like Hurdle wanted any piece of that opening pitch.
No.
No.
Frankly. Said he he tried to switch it off to, I would rather swing the bat, but I just don't think he wants to be involved.
Man, the pop that would get, though.
I know, man. It would be a humongous pop.
I think in 17 they beat the Braves and Cervelli hit a home run to win that game. Does that sound... Dan,
vaguely.
Does that sound big? No, he's...
Dan's... He's locked in here. He's prepping. He's fully locked in.
And then I think when they beat the Twins, Lance Lynn pitched for Minnesota, who just retired the other day.
It was Lance Lynn. Yeah, you're right.
Lance Lynn falls into the category. Donnie and Cale, before you got into work yesterday, Malzie, were having a field day. They were like pigs in slop talking about fat athletes. You should have seen these two.
Obviously non-defensive or offensive linemen because
they're supposed
to be. So
guys who are not
traditionally
but they were just loving talking about hefty.
Do you count Nikola Jokic as a fat athlete?
That's kind of how it started.
Rich Garces, famously.
We mentioned like Tony Gwynn.
How about Oliver Miller, the big O, Oliver Miller
from
the NBA?
He was a big man.
He was a large guy.
Who were some others?
Gwynn is a classic.
Bartolo Colon.
But Bartolo started so skinny, and then it was just a slow descent.
Who's the all-time Pirates fat athlete? Mike Zagurski?
No, if we're talking about somebody who was, like, really good.
You love Zagurski. Donnie, you should get a Zagurski personalized
jersey. How about Spanky LaValliere?
That's a good one.
Man, I don't know if I can think of another guy that was, like, a heftier dude who played for the Pirates.
Vogie.
Oh, yeah.
Vogie.
Zangrilli coming in with Mike Fetters, who was famous for looking away from the plate and then staring a hole through the batter.
Dan Vogelback,
before
my guy.
Proceeding to then give up usually like a very long home run.
All right, rapid fire on some props for today's game.
Okay, let's go.
Keller over under 5.5 strikeouts.
Over, actually.
I'm going to go over, too.
I feel bad about saying over now that it's going to be bad luck.
Yeah.
Then don't. So say under. Reynolds, 2+ total bases.
Under.
Over.
I'm going to go over, too, against the lefty and Freed. Andrew McCutchen to record a hit, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Maybe so.
I'm worried about McCutchen.
Sound
in general.
You're talking about him the way you sound like you're talking about like a relative who's like fallen on hard times here or something.
I am. Some of the things I heard about him is like a broken down man in spring training. Yep.
I'm always going to play in right field today, so that has us all feeling great. You bringing this up now.
Pony, you are just ending this show on the highest of notes here. You really have a flair.
Do the Pirates win?
No.
Yes. 6-4.
Yes. 9-1.
9-1?
Yep. All right. Zangrilli has the leadoff show. He's next. Thanks, everybody who stopped by and said hello. So many of you. Thanks to Saloni's for providing us buns and hot dogs and hamburgers throughout the broadcast. We'll talk to you Monday at 2 p.m. team signing off.